This episode of the View from the Rock podcast is brought to you by Sign Dog Northwest. They're your source for custom signs, banners, boat names, fleet graphics, and more. Custom design services available. This episode is also brought to you by Merle Inc., the premier custom home builder in the Cle Elum area and a proud featured home builder in Suncadia Resort in Tumble Creek. Finally, this episode is brought to you by Rob Thomas Drywall, the number one drywall company in the Ellensburg and Kittitas County. Welcome back to the View from the Rock podcast. I'm your host, Ruck. I'm here with Swapper and Morgie at the Yellow Dog Studios here for episode 3 of season 3. We're fresh off of our AHS Live debut, and in today's episode, we are going to be talking about sad songs.
Oof.
I know. And finally, wrapping it up with a little top 3 about the best local venues. I think sports venues is what we're looking at there.
Yeah, to watch high school sports.
That's right. Yep. Swap, how are we doing?
Beer of the week.
Oh.
We do have a beer of the week.
From Carl Yost.
The Carl Yost.
Yes.
Love it. I can't wait to talk more about it. It's staring me right in the face right there, and you'll find out more about why it could be staring me in the face.
And a beautiful can, but we'll talk more about that later.
So it was just recently Halloween, not to date this episode too much, but what do you guys do for Halloween at this point?
Well, I for years I would walk around with my kids and trick or treat, oftentimes with friends. Now I sit at home.
And hand out candy?
Yeah.
Man, I love a good costume. And I love a good costume party.
Yeah, you do.
As an adult.
Yeah.
Everyone's, they put on a mask and they change.
You're somebody else.
Yeah. And no one knows who you are and you can just hang out. I mean, it's fun. And it's been a couple years. But yeah. I love a good Halloween party as an adult.
Well, I think the last costume sort of party I was at was Sign Dog's 50th.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember the last time I went to a Halloween party where I actually dressed up for it. I do not recall. It was probably college.
I was Rob Halford.
You were Rob Halford?
Judas Priest.
Yeah.
At Sign Dog's party.
Yeah, and you look like him. That costume, you should have worn that to Judas Priest.
I know, I should.
You should have worn it to Judas Priest.
I should have. And it would have been amazeballs.
Yeah, it was one of those things where it's like, do you? And then once we were there, it was like, yeah, you should have.
I know.
You would fit right
in.
Because
there was no one there dressed like him.
I know.
I thought there'd be like 50. And
dude, you're a dead ringer.
I know.
Like, you can do it.
I know.
You're a dead ringer.
Yeah. So maybe next Halloween. We're all going to a Halloween party except for Ruck.
We should, but you never know what day.
Why am I not included?
Because you don't like people.
That's not wrong, but it's good for me to get
out. Would you like to go and dress up as someone you're not, like, no one knows you?
But like a costume situation is great for you because nobody knows who you are.
Yeah.
Except for the
everybody
largeness and beard.
Yeah. I'd have to cut the beard off for the Halloween party.
Or you just wear something where
that covers
no one. Yeah, yeah. No one knows who you are.
Like a giant mask.
Hey, because you know what?
Hey, speaking
at school, I dressed up this week.
Belushi's party has an amazing party.
Well, that's been years.
Oh, I've been to two of them.
Really?
Yeah, it's fun.
I'll be darned. No, it was good Halloween. I handed out a lot of candy. It was a Thursday night. Football was on in the background. My dog was, like I told somebody today, it was kind of like the Amazon truck on steroids. Yip, 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 yip. Yeah, he had a great night.
Would you just give him like a little Benadryl?
No, he...
Because so he doesn't bark every single time someone comes to the door.
After a while, he was fine.
Yeah. I had a great dinner with Tutu.
I've had like 27 Reese's peanut butter cups in the last 24 hours.
Yes.
I love Reese's.
No, so...
anything Reese's.
Tutu gave me all the candy, and Rowan gave me candy. We took it to school today. We have a secret hiding space in the back room of
The locker room.
And my son came in today and said, give me the Almond Joy.
And demanded it.
I think Pat had 10 Reese's Peanut Butter Cups today.
I did. Like, if
not,
I...
And not even counting last night.
Are we talking the minis or the full?
No, mini. Well, no, well, it's like a half.
A cup.
Do you think
that... So he probably had 5 fulls.
So the interesting part about the minis is that they're a lot taller. They're just not as wide.
I have peanut butter coursing through my veins right now.
Oh,
like,
yeah, yeah.
What I'm getting at is, do you think that one of those little round ones in like a normal size, because you get 2 normal sized ones in a bar. Do you think one of those normal sized ones is actually the same size as a mini?
No.
It's just that the proportions have changed.
I think it's 2.5.
Really?
Yeah.
Whatever they do.
The circumference and diameter of those big ones is way different.
You're right.
Whatever they do is magic.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Math. We needed that from you.
You know, 18 years of math. I kind of miss math a little bit.
Yeah, you do. Get back in there, big guy.
A little bit.
I don't. I never taught math.
I know.
Did you feel like at some point you peaked at math? I feel like I peaked at math. 6th grade was my peak.
I peaked my junior year, and then I got AP Calc.
Ooh.
And then it was like, I cannot do this.
No, I'm done. No, yeah. I told the boys, it's over.
They served me algebra, and I was swimming. I was lost out to sea.
I loved a nice equation.
Algebra?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you can
4x plus 2 equals 12.
I know. You can solve it, and then everything is happy in the end.
I know.
I will say that's the nice thing about math that's different for us English teachers.
An answer.
In English, not like, it's like, yeah, I think that's what I was looking for. I think that's what I'm looking for.
I know. And they're like, you can make this sentence better.
But you know, here's the deal.
But maybe you can't.
I can solve anything, but you guys can like just write out an essay or like,
well, how
an what, email? That's what did you amazing.
Think of my? What it's did you a, think like of my all, JV basketball write up the other day?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Topper. I said, hey, we had a great game. Oh, Swappy just comes out with like the amazing everything.
I had alliteration for every kid.
Ooh,
I heard it. That was incredible.
Yeah, I used the first initial of their name to use adjectives that match their name.
As it should be.
Yeah.
I feel like, man, I should leave the English behind. We don't need to go any further than that.
We go to you for help.
I just want to diagram sentences.
But you know what?
No, really?
I do. Yeah.
Here's the deal. Like when we go, like if something needs to happen and I need an email or I need a letter sent, I'm calling you two because it's amazing. Like, just the words, like, I don't even know what 2 of those words mean.
So the interesting thing to me...
I mean, you guys know. Well, I mean, how do you spell alliteration?
Well, so we're going to go slightly down a rabbit hole, if you let me here. So feel free pull me out before I go too deep.
No, let's go.
Linking back to our previous conversation about proprioception. Did I say that right?
Proprioception.
Yeah, proprioception. Jason?
No. Oh, hold on. Perception.
Nice. I think that there is a sense, just like proprioception. Did I say that right?
Proprioception.
I think there's a sense about language.
Yes.
And I would be the first to admit that I am not a great diagrammer of sentences. And when I need to think about parts of, like, whether things are nouns, verbs, adjectives, I've got to, like, do some mental hurdles to, like, figure out what those even mean again. But probably for you, you don't need to. But I feel like I have a sense of writing. And that's what is my strength in teaching English.
You have 30 seconds.
You don't need to be able to diagram a sentence to be a good writer or a good speaker. But I do feel like having an overall sense of knowing how parts of speech work together, it gives you a foundation to write and to speak.
You are almost on Jeopardy. You are a legend.
I'm not a legend.
You are.
But I love diagramming sentences.
You are a legend.
Maybe you can show me your ways at some point.
Hey, you are a legend in our minds.
Well, I appreciate that.
Speaking of legends, do we want to talk about also ourselves broadcasting the HS Live football game?
That was fun as hell.
That was a great time.
So, according to my sources, there were 4,000 views as of yesterday.
Wow.
It was amazing when we in the fourth quarter said, text us for your nominations for player of the game.
And we got 100.
I had 150 texts.
Yeah, I had one.
We had 250.
That was amazing.
It was a really good time. I think as we said going into that, I think it made it on the podcast last time. I was very nervous. I did not really want to do it.
You were amazing.
You were great, Ruck. And that's what people have said, is Ruck was kind of the glue. And then Morgie and I just kind of talked.
Yeah.
It was perfect.
I mean, I know I did one play that happened, but I was like, I'm going to predict this play.
But you did.
There was like probably five or six that Ruck did that happened. Yeah. Predicted the play before the snap.
It's still 50-50, but I feel like having coached previously, you kind of get trained up quickly in seeing the small things that happen on a football field that are like the breadcrumbs for what play is going to happen next. So I was just trying to do some of that stuff. That's when I watch football, that's what I enjoy, is when someone who knows more about football than me is telling me things that I'm like, wow, that's cool.
I thought it was really fun. And, you know, if we have an opportunity to do that again, yeah. I think
maybe we're going to do it.
I think there's talk of us doing the playoffs.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, we just need more people to come up and say yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I would just say, working with the broadcast crew in there, they were super awesome. I had no idea kind of how the broadcast gets made. Never seen that side of it. So, you know, how they do the replays, the producer, all that kind of stuff. They did a great job getting us prepared. Without them, probably would have been even more of a train wreck than we normally are.
No, so. It was amazing. And it was, you know, having them in our ear and saying, we're going to a replay, we're going to commercial. Like, we had no idea. We weren't trained.
Yeah.
And
I think it was amazing.
The high school broadcast club was amazing.
Shout out to Evan as well, Williamson.
Yeah, they were great.
Yeah, the sort of teacher director of that. So, yeah, I don't know when the next one will be, because the next one could potentially be the playoffs, but I very
could
likely
be at state for track. Speaking of track. Yeah,
I could be at state for cross country.
Local sport districts.
Cross country.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, same thing, but different.
No, it's not.
It's different.
I know. So we got playoffs right now.
Tomorrow? Well, I don't want to date it, but.
Yeah, playoffs
in the
everyone.
Future. Yeah.
Volleyball, cross country.
Soccer.
Big
day tomorrow.
Yeah.
What do you think, Ruck?
That's going to be cold. Tomorrow's going to be a cold day.
Yeah.
Cold, maybe.
It's not going to rain, no.
There's small percent chance.
30% chance.
But all the fields for any of the outdoor sports are going to be sloppy.
Yeah.
So, that's going to have an effect.
So what's the track look like at Lakewood?
What's the cross country look like at Lakewood?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think I know, though. It can get sloppy on the surface there because there's the back part of that cross country track or where it's below the starting level. So the water tends to sort of funnel towards that back half, and it's in the woods. So it's not like graveled or grassy. It's been run on all year.
Is that the place that we don't see?
It's the place you don't see.
Yeah.
Because there's 840 meters that's actually on a tracked surface. And then there's a big chunk of it that's on gravel. And then there's a chunk of it that's on grass. And all of that's great. And then you get into the woods back there, and it can become sloppy, and there's turns and things like that. So you end up seeing some people come out of there who ate it back in the woods.
So could a person fall down?
Absolutely. Get a little spiked up, get some blood going.
I saw someone fall as a spectator through the gravel on the last spot before you get to the track.
Can you name names?
No.
That gravel spot is bad.
It is my mother-in-law.
Oh.
So that gravel is like, the chunks are, I don't know, the size of like a watch. Like, they're huge chunks. They're not like little tiny pebbles. And it is, I don't know, like a 20-degree grade going down that. It's super steep.
So, Ruck, we have two teams coming out of there going to state.
Yep.
And we are the best district in the state.
Not even close.
And what does it look like for us tomorrow?
Yeah, so going in for the boys and girls, it's both rankings-wise in our district. Seaholm 1, Anacortes 2, Bellingham 3.
And what's the difference
in between all, in both teams?
Both boys and girls.
Oh, my goodness. What is the difference between 1, 2, and 3?
So difference between 1 and 2 is large.
Okay.
The difference between 2 and 3 is not as large. I would just say that it's really tricky to figure out where all the teams are other than head-to-heads, and you're hoping that when you went against that team, everybody was healthy and they were actually running everybody because it's a long season. It's hard to get all the 5Ks in, you know, and do all like 10 of them. So not everybody always runs. And so you get to the end of here and you kind of go, well, I hope that what we're seeing on the times online are reality. Yeah. Because if they are, then we have a good shot of going. And if there's some tricky business, then it makes it a little tougher. But I think we all feel that if all of our athletes show up and run their own race and do close to what their personal best is, then we'll be fine.
So would you say that it is possible that the third team in districts will not make state, but could be the third team in state?
I think that on both sides, the top three teams in state will be at districts tomorrow, and only two of them will go.
That's
and so they get a few berths, right?
We get two berths.
Like single, if you're good.
Yeah, so we get two berths based upon how many teams our district has, and we kind of share those with other districts. And so depending on how many teams they field, that affects how many berths we get. And then based upon those team berths, they just multiply it by 7, and that's the number of individuals that could qualify. So because there's two, it's 14 individuals. And then, you know, if you go past the top three teams, we've got 5 of the top 10 teams in the state, 4 of the top 5 teams in state.
It's ridiculous.
It's complete BS.
Yeah. And it, you know,
we're the best district in the world.
Football has rectified it. They're going to a 32 team state.
Yeah.
And
they have.
You know, and it's not about team 32. It's about
our 4 teams.
Yeah, it's about team 9 that might not make it to make it out of districts. It's ridiculous.
You know, I would say that I think that we should all want the best teams at state.
Yeah.
That should always be the goal. And I know I've heard some people say that they want a representation of the state at state, which doesn't necessarily mean the best state or the best teams, which I don't buy that. I think that that's an upper level, I don't know how to say that, upper level sort of thinking of represent the state rather than get the best teams.
Well, Morgie, it's like last year in basketball, Cedar Crest.
Yeah.
You know, we beat them. A kid misses 2 free throws. We beat him to get the last berth.
And they should be going.
They should. That was a state tournament team.
Yeah. And they would win the game.
100%. They would. They might have done better than us at state.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So real quick, Ruck, you have anything about the World Series?
I watched.
You did?
I watched the fifth game because I had a feeling the Dodgers were going to pull it out. You know, previous to that, I had told one of our cross-country parents that I would root for the Dodgers for him. and one of my buddies also roots for the Dodgers. So I was trying to not.
I know who he is.
Yes. I was trying to not fall asleep. I was in bed at 8 o'clock watching the game, and they won it. And I was like, sweet, lights out.
Yankees kind of had a meltdown. They had a meltdown inning.
Oh, Yankees can suck it.
Well,
Vernon's, all the Oregon boys that love the Yankees. Like, why? How do you root for the Yankees when you're born in
Oregon
or Washington?
Yeah.
Like, that's weird to me.
I have an answer to that. The Mariners suck. No. That's how that happens. I'm just saying that's how that it's not a good reason. I'm saying that's why. Because they are going to weasel their way out.
There will be a time in our lifetime that the Mariners will make it to the World Series. I think so.
You know,
wow. Brock?
The Seahawks did.
Yeah, and it took us 40 years.
Yes.
And our kids sit here, and they're like, oh, we suck now. I go, you have spent your whole life watching winning.
Yeah.
Two Super Bowls and lots of winning. Yeah. Like, we're always winning. Like, they don't know anything else.
I know.
We spent 30 years with Dave Craig.
I love Dave
Craig.
And
my mom yelling at the TV. Do you remember the one game against Kansas City Chiefs? Because remember, we were AFC.
Yeah.
Derek.
Thomas.
Brooks.
Oh, Thomas.
Sacked Dave Craig.
6 times.
Was it 6 or 7?
Maybe 8.
I thought it was 8. It's like it's still the record, isn't it?
But we won the game on the last play. He threw a touchdown pass to Paul Scanzi.
I know. And just watching my mom yell at the TV so loud.
Yeah.
Every weekend. And just,
yeah.
We're going to win a Super Bowl. Another one with the Seahawks. Mariners, we're going to win one.
You know, I want it to happen. I cannot allow myself to fall into the emotional trap that happens every year. And I don't want to watch.
There are teams like the Red Sox and Indians and Cubs. Can you say Indians anymore? But they haven't won it in...
They won one.
But
Red Sox won.
But it was 100 years. Or 90.
Okay.
So like, we could die.
We've been... How many years do we have?
Well, 77. 40? So...
77 years.
No,
we might have another 60 years to go then before they win.
Hey, you know what the motto is?
Prepare to be disappointed.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm
awfully
prepared.
So to be honest, I never watched an entire Mariners game all year.
Wow. Does that mean that we're...
3 innings.
We're like Mariners preppers? Like, you know, doomsday preppers? We're just Mariners preppers. Love that. Oh, all right.
Man.
So.
What do we got next?
We have next some shout outs. Is that what I'm seeing here?
Yeah.
What shout outs you got there for us, Morgie? Do you got some shout outs?
Swappy got any?
No shout outs?
We got a shout out to Jack Curtis.
Jack Curtis.
Yeah. Loyal listener.
Really loves Wilson Phillips. So do I now.
Hold on for one more day.
You know what?
Shout out to just everyone that loves the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we always appreciate your feedback. Hey, Speaking of which, if you have any feedback for us this episode, remember, you can shout us out at theviewfromtherock@gmail.com.
I have a shout out to Tara. You know where Tara is right now? Hawaii.
You know what?
You know what she's probably doing in Hawaii? She's sitting on the beach listening to our podcast. So God bless her.
Yeah. And she's going to find out that her beer of the week is not the best. That is the best. Tonight's Carl Yost beer of the week is going to be the best photo I've ever seen.
Well, I think tonight's beer of the week is in a special category unto itself.
Yes.
I agree. Hey, are we ready to move it on to the musical genre? Because if we are, I think that we could do a little break first.
Let's do a break.
And I would just say this break is brought to you by Lake Campbell Lodging in the Lake House, also known as Grandma's House. It's a business and property on Lake Campbell. It's been there in the family for 56 years. And, you know, just shout out to all the hardworking moms, wives, and small businesses in the community here in Anacortes. Welcome back to the View from the Rock podcast. First break of the night, might not be the last break. We are jumping right into musical genre of sad songs. And who would like to teach us a little bit first?
Well, I like sad songs. We've talked about this before. I like, for me, nothing brings me more pleasure than being sad.
Okay.
No, I do. I like nothing more than to sit alone at night and find the saddest songs I can.
You know, it was hard for me because I was like, I don't know. Like, I'm looking for sad songs, and then I look at the lyrics. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
You don't like to be sad.
No.
I do.
Yeah.
I like to be sad.
You know,
I mean, I can cry. I cry.
You're a crier, but you cry in joy.
I cry in joy a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that was one you talked about that you cry. That
no, I cry in joy a lot.
I like to look at lyrics and think about how they project onto me. And,
you know, your genre of just musical genre and just being an English guy.
I like to be sad.
Yeah.
I do.
Hey, you know, so my take is you got to experience the full range of emotions.
You do.
And like I often tell any kid that is down or crying or is having a moment, whether they're in my class or my athlete, I often tell them, hey, tears are power. Let's let it out.
So let's.
But they're not crying because of music. No, they're crying because they're not doing well in the sport.
It could be a lot of reasons why they're crying when.
But I think sometimes these songs, the lyrics can resonate with kids and what they're going through.
All right, so Swap, you're leading us.
I know. Let's just dip our toes. Let's dip our toes into this genre. Okay, let's do it.
Yeah,
I'm ready.
I'm down.
Do you want me to start?
Yeah, I do.
Oh man,
we're gonna go.
Round robin?
Clockwise.
Okay.
Do you want me to put like a time limit on this? Like no matter what, at this time, we're done?
Well, I think we could do this all night.
I know. And last time we did that.
Yeah. Well,
so I think 15 minutes.
That is not enough time.
Okay. I'm just 30 minutes.
So can I just lead this off by saying one of our good friends and sponsors, Signdog, this is what he does. He goes deep into the night and like I've been with him and he says, Swap. I want the saddest song you can give me.
I love it.
So let's start with one. Let's go Tears in Heaven, Eric Clapton. Do you got it for us, Ruck?
I do. I'm bringing it up. Tears.
Ruck's bringing it up. Heaven. So Clapton, you know, he was in the Yardbirds. He was in...
Cream?
Cream with Ginger Baker and
by himself
Jack Bruce.
Yeah.
Do you want the original or do you want acoustic?
Let's go acoustic.
Okay. Acoustic live.
Ugh. So, hey.
Do you want to
I will cry. I'm going to cry tonight.
Give us a little background on this.
So, his son Connor died at the age of 4. He fell out a window.
Jesus.
And then he made this song.
And this was, you know, he was kind of a shredder. And then he came out with this in the 90s, MTV Unplugged.
I'm gonna cry 5 times tonight.
Yeah, you're looking misty over there.
It's always been one of my favorite songs. I mean, I absolutely do listen to sad songs or just, I almost call it like book reading material. Like stuff that is chill in the background, but is like somber because I need to like mellow out
but
to get
Rock,
some reading
you,
in.
You think about it as having a son or daughter. That's what changes us.
Not, I mean, not me at this point.
No, I know. I'm just saying.
I'm a childless, when, not quite.
So
cat
I
man.
Think this that came out 94, 93?
Yeah, somewhere in there. Because, you know, Yellow Dog would do this every once in a while.
Oh, you did a little cover?
Yeah, we did, and it was we shouldn't have. I think that's his. I think that's his story to tell.
Swapped. You song. Sang this?
I did, because Clapton's not really a singer.
That's true.
Yes.
So I could.
He's a guitar player.
No, I could cover. I could do a Clapton song, because he's not really a singer.
My turn.
Go for it.
Go Your Own Way, Fleetwood Mac.
Okay.
Oh wow.
You know, I have so the next song, one on the list. I'll queued up. Go for it.
So
I'm gonna find it.
Song is about a breakup and perspective of a person that is being left. So I mean, Fleetwood Mac was a shit show, or was an S show.
Yes, they were. There was a lot of
everything.
They were fairly incestuous.
Yeah,
if we can say that.
So Go Wait, Your Own really? Way is basically saying Stevie Nicks, I think, to
Lindsey Buckingham.
Yes, and say, go your own way.
Yeah.
We're done.
You can go your own way.
Yeah.
Wow.
And they still sing it together.
Now, when you say incestuous, you mean like within the band?
Within yes. the
mean
band.
Within the band.
Yes.
Yes.
Took me a while
so
to think about that.
There was
one.
A lot of that happening in the band. Okay. Fleetwood Mac is crazy. Like,
I know John McVie, Lindsey Buckingham, Stevie Nicks,
and Christine McVie.
Yes,
there was a marriage there.
Yeah,
but crazy.
What a great band.
Okay, Rock, you're up.
I'm up. Do I need to stick to songs that are on there?
No,
no. You do whatever you want,
man. I'm going to play this song, which you guys probably have no idea who this artist is, but I'm actually playing the songs that I listened to that are said. This song is about this guy's mother dying and wanting to die in a way that she had dignity because she was suffering, I think, for a long time with forget if it was cancer or something like that.
Jesus, Rock.
So this is called Sufjan Stevens, the artist, and the song's called Death with Dignity.
Oh, my.
Yeah, so I think that whole album for him was sort of like a tribute album for his mom.
Wow.
He's got a lot of other sad songs. You're going to probably hear more from him.
So, Ruck, I think another one for me is Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You by Led Zeppelin, which is not on our list. But we've talked about it before on podcasts. You know, I've mentioned to both of you how Jack Russell, may he rest in peace, from Great White, did numerous Zeppelin covers, and he did the best Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You I've ever heard.
Oh, yeah. Hey, thank you for putting this in.
Wow. This hits hard.
This is gonna...
Good job.
Here comes Robert Plant with the heavy vocals and John Bonham with the drums.
That's a great song.
Yeah.
Thank you for adding that to the list. Jay, you got another one up next?
Yeah.
You're trying to speak sign language to me. I couldn't understand it. No. Sorry.
I mean, I only know a few things in sign language. Swappy, do you know anything in sign language?
No.
So, You Somebody, Kings of Leon.
Oh, wow.
Oh, okay.
Song about love and yearning for somebody else.
Got it.
So, here we go.
Yep. I've been roaming around, always looking down at all I see. Painted faces fill the places I can't reach. It's amazing how music and artists can tap into emotion.
No. It's a, like, I'm going to cry.
You're misting up. I can tell. I can see it right now.
It's a, like, you know, and everyone's going to make fun of me because I'm a crier. But you know what? Who cares?
Yeah. Oh. There's the evocative part of songs that that all of these tonight kind of reach into.
All right. Rock, you're up.
Okay. I've already got the next one cued for me. So mine's from a local band from Bellingham, Death Cab for Cutie. I don't know if you guys are familiar with them. Definitely something that gets played on 107.7 The End. This one is Brothers on a Hotel Bed. So it kind of is like how sometimes in a relationship or a marriage, whatever it might be, you end up no longer being romantically interested. It feels more like you're just hanging out with your brother in bed.
Wow.
This has a long build. I'm trying to think if I want to skip ahead, but I think I'll just let it play.
Don't let it play.
I was about ready to start talking here.
Man.
You may tire of me as our December sun is setting, cause I'm not who I used to be. No longer easy on the eyes, but these wrinkles masterfully disguise the youthful boy below.
Well, you could listen to that song forever, but I'll let you take the next one.
Okay, so my next one, this is not on the list. It's The French Inhaler by Warren Zevon. And it's not my saddest Warren Zevon song.
It sounds like a balloon, The French Inhaler.
The French Inhaler. It's about basically about a woman that goes to Hollywood to make it big, and it goes wrong.
Oh my God. I'm going to cry right now. Make your way in the world, woman, when you weren't cut out for working. When your fingers are slender and
yourself up for sale. Where will you go with your scarves and your miracles? Who's gonna know who you are? Drugs and wine and flattering light, you must try it again till you get it right. Baby, you'll end up with someone different.
He can paint a picture.
Yeah, he's got great, great lyrics.
You said you were an actress.
I'm sad. Like, initially when we thought about this today, I'm thinking like, sad songs are gonna make me cry. Like, I'm gonna cry eventually. So I got one for you. So I'm next, right?
Yeah. Tell me what you got. You ready with it?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay.
Okay. Bridge over troubled waters.
Oh. Nice.
Oh. You got that one?
We do.
It's about comfort and support in difficult times.
Have you ever seen these guys sing together?
No.
It's magic.
You have?
Not in person.
Okay.
But like, look it up. I mean, they're just
I know.
Amazing.
No, I know. I've seen, like, there's one more that I have that I want to do that's a different version. Can we do a, can we do that?
Disturbed?
Yeah.
Yes.
Ooh. That's a good call.
These two guys were amazing.
I know. I mean, think about it. Their names are amazing. Simon and Garfunkel.
I know.
It sounds like a cartoon character.
I think I'm going to go with a suggestion from our audience. I'm going to go with Romeo and Juliet by Dire Straits.
Wow, Dire Straits is so good.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
What was the name?
Mark Knopfler.
Mark Knopfler.
Mark Knopfler is amazing.
Too many consonants in
so
two
syllables. I actually saw him in Oregon. 2005.
A love struck Romeo. Sing the streets a serenade. Laying everybody low with a love song that he made. Find the streetlight.
Can I double dip too? Can I go one of my own now?
Absolutely. Do whatever you want.
Well, I know that this artist won't get featured otherwise. I like it. All right. So, oh, you know, the audience just sent in another good one that's actually one of my all-time favorites, which if no one else does it, I'll do it. But I've got to put this song in. So,
do it.
You know, I'm a T-Swift fanboy. So I'm going to go to a T-Swift song from my first album that I ever really loved from T-Swift, which was Folklore. The song on there that, man, their voices together intertwined are so incredibly beautiful. And the song's about two people that were together at one point after they've just broken up, accidentally seeing each other again. And one of them's already moved on to someone else. I think a thing that most people can relate to. So this is Exile by Taylor Swift with Bon Iver.
I can see you standing, honey, with his arms around your body, laughing, but the joke's not funny at all. And it took you 5 whole minutes to pack us up and leave me with it, holding all this love out here in the hall. I think I've seen this film before, and I didn't like the ending. You're not my homeland anymore, so what am I defending now? You were my town, now I'm in exile seeing you out. I think I've seen this film before.
Oh man.
Yeah, his ability to go low and high, and then the match of his voice with Taylor right here. And I won't play the rest of the song, but I would just say that the whole song, like, eventually they're intertwined doing a duet together, and they are singing together, and it's incredible. Anyone else got another one to go?
Yeah, I got one. You got one?
I got one. So,
man, I just, every song, I'm just getting the shivers.
So,
the chills.
Do you remember the movie City of Angels with Nicolas Cage?
Oh, my gosh. Yes, I do.
So Sarah McLachlan.
Oh, I remember you.
No, it's a song. It's either called Angel or Arms of an Angel.
I'm going with Angel.
So in the movie, Nicolas Cage is some sort of an angel, and he falls in love with a woman and like asks God or somebody to be like a mortal man so that he can live a life with this woman. And as soon as he is granted mortality, she dies. And then he is...
Sarah McLachlan is... Sorry.
Well...
Is this the right song?
Yeah.
I mean, this...
So they're playing this, I believe, when the woman is riding her bike and gets killed by a car. And Nicolas Cage has...
We're never doing this again.
No.
I feel bad right now. I'm about ready to cry for the second time. It's okay. Hey, everyone out there, it's okay to cry. I mean,
we're here for you.
So I got one.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Really? Jesus.
I know. That hit hard, didn't it?
Yeah.
I can go if you need me to.
That broke me. Like,
I'm sorry.
Okay. Hold on. I got to get back.
Well, the listeners can't see a couple of things. One is that our list that was made ahead of time is just full of great songs that are sad, but there's a lot of like heavier rock bands and things like that, which, you know, they're great. They are sad, but like we went down a very different route than we absolutely intended to. The other part that was unseen was during that very sad song, there was a lot of machinations going on there, and someone just needed a power cable, but some gymnastics were happening. Jason, do you have another song for us?
Or
do
you have one? And
we should probably wrap this up.
Okay.
That's well, because I need to have one before we wrap it up.
Okay. Go ahead. Take one. So we'll do. So this one is like it blows like people's minds because it goes to a point where like my parents love it. So we're talking about a cover from Simon and Garfunkel.
And is it Disturbed?
Yes. And he does this to a great, like, a degree of, like,
and Disturbed,
amaze balls.
They're heavy. Disturbed
and
is
they're,
heavy.
And they're a hard rock yes. band. And they do this. And, like, Ruck, can you?
Ruck's got it.
We saw this live.
I'm going to cry. I am. I will. I will cry.
Ruck, you can play this as long as you want.
Yeah, totally.
Right. So, wow. Yeah, that song, like my parents, when they first heard that, like they came down to the house and like, can you play that for me? Like they were crying.
It's incredible.
I think I first
which is amazing
heard for that song.
Like when he sings Down with a Sickness and you hear that and they're like, no, there's no way that he sang that and this.
Yeah.
Dave and Draymond.
It's wow. incredible. And I think I first heard that song watching The Graduate.
Oh, is that with Dustin Hoffman?
It was.
What?
Yes.
Oh, the original.
Yeah.
Oh.
Art of the Film, Green River Community College.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah. You impressed with my ability to know
who's that was in that? Amazing, Mr. Ruck Dashiell. What do you got for us next?
No, you have one more, you said.
Well, yeah. Does
end.
Ruck have one
to
more?
End.
Yeah, we'll end Ruck with
has, so we have two more.
So my question is, I feel feel like, so I'm just going to mention the one that our audience said, which is an incredible song. If you haven't heard it, listen to it. I'm not going to play it right now, though. I'm going to play a different one. That song is The Whipping Post by, why am I forgetting who that is? Allman Brothers, thank you. Love that song. That is full of emotion. It's awesome. I'm going to play this one because this one connects with me even more. And I hope I'm not taking this one from you, Swap. You're not playing anyone from the list, are you? Is your song on the list?
No.
Okay. So the one that I'm doing is from the list. I could have went back to the Sufjan Well or the Death Cab Well because all of those bands have incredibly sad songs constantly. But I'm going with Pink Floyd. I think Wish You Were Here is an incredibly sad song, especially when you consider what was going on, and that was that their band member basically had a drug-induced paranoia and all the kind of stuff, went into a mental illness, and they lost him at that point. And this was like a tribute to him. And like all good Pink Floyd songs, there's a gigantic
rock. Oh, man. Intro. I mean, think about College Swamp.
Do you remember going to the laser show?
Yes.
Pink Floyd laser show.
What? I went to one at Western.
No.
Yeah.
Do you go to the Pink Floyd show?
Seattle,
and Metallica?
Seattle Center.
Yeah.
Wow.
And you lay down?
You'd lay down.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh my God.
Oh.
Man, how about making a guitar talk? Sheesh.
So you think you can tell heaven from hell, blue skies from pain? Can you tell?
Well, I think that's enough of that.
Wow.
Love that song, though. Damn. I feel like Floyd in general, I just come back to it different times,
it was so
and it's
good.
Always no. Just so good.
I'm kind of depressed right now.
It feels great, doesn't it?
Of course you are.
It makes me feel happy.
Because we're talking about sad songs.
I know. So
we got one more.
Last one.
The quintessential sad song. Warren Zevon, Keep Me In Your Heart. So he was dying, I believe, of mesothelioma. He knew he was dying. It was terminal. And he recorded one last album. And he did this song.
Keep me in your heart for a while. If I leave you, it doesn't mean I love you any less. Keep me in your heart for a while. When you get up in the morning and you see that crazy sun, keep me in your heart for a while. There's a train leaving nightly called when all is said and done. Keep me in your heart for a while. Sha-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Keep me in your heart for a while. Sometimes when you're doing simple things around the house, maybe you'll think of me and smile.
You know I'm tied to you like the buttons on your blouse. Keep me in your heart for a while. Hold me in your thoughts. Take me to your dreams. Touch me as I fall into view. And when the winter comes, keep the fires lit, and I will be right next to you. Engine drivers headed north to Pleasant Stream. Keep me in your heart for a while. These wheels keep turning, but they're running out of steam. Keep me in your heart for a while.
All right. That is a great song. I think you might have played it for me before. I love in a song like that where I can just, even though I don't know all the things that you know about that song, I can hear the lyrics, the words, and I know what he's talking about.
Warren Zevon, just, you know, I've listened to him since 1987. And when he passed away, that last album was just really poignant.
Absolutely. You guys,
I've been crying a lot. Like these songs are, they're awesome, but they're like,
you don't like to feel this way.
No, it gets you in your chest.
This is what I do on a Saturday night. When everyone goes to bed, I sit up and I have a nice glass of bourbon and I listen to the saddest songs I can find.
So I do the same thing with the bourbon. And I listen to like Alice in Chains and Soundgarden.
There's its own sadness there with those.
Yeah.
So, hey.
And I think we could probably do another round of that, but not tonight.
Yeah. And
that was good work.
There's a bunch more songs that were on our list and did not get played. So, you know, feel free to send us in suggestions. Maybe one day we'll have enough strength mustered up to do a round two. But
I'm sure there's some people out there, they're going to send.
Well, Brad.
Well, yes. And send them to him.
Brad,
send them to us.
No, there is Brad, no Brad is the expert on sad songs.
And he had a song that was sad from Screaming Trees. We did not play it.
Well, and we also didn't do one of my personal favorites, Joey from Concrete Blonde.
Yep.
Can we do that right now as we go into break?
Yes.
Yeah. And then just we'll go into a break is what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
And then you know, beer of the week.
Yeah, we didn't do, are we going to take a real break?
Yes.
For us? Okay.
But after we listen to Joey from Concrete Blonde. Fair.
And then I'll just pause it. We don't need to talk. I would say we also didn't play Hurt by Johnny Cash, which is not, you know, his own. It's a remake of Nine Inch Nails.
I have two playlists that I made that are sad songs.
And it's just based upon what you feel. They're both going for the same thing.
Yes.
Concrete Blonde.
Come on, Ruck.
And the name is Joey. Okay, sorry. The way it was written in there was, I was confused.
I put it on the.
No, I
put it on.
It's not your fault. It just because it said who is from.
It's no one's fault.
Yeah. All right. And we're going to go and take a break right now. Welcome back to the View from the Rock podcast. And that was our last break of the night, of the day, the morning, whenever you're listening. We are going to have our beer of the week from a loyal listener, Swap, or Morgie. Tell us all about this beer.
So it's called the Two-Hearted IPA.
And who?
From Bell's Brewery.
But who provided this for us?
So, one of our listeners, Carl Yost, who's from Michigan.
So family friend.
Yes. And he's the dad of a very loyal listener.
Mr. AJ Yost.
Who is the current new basketball coach.
Yes.
Who we interviewed.
Last week.
Yes.
At halftime.
Oh. So Carl brought us this amazing beer.
Amazing beer.
It's an American IPA.
And hey, before we even get started on this, one of the most beautiful artistic cans.
Oh. I mean, when you look at it, I mean, it looks like you have just caught a 30-pound salmon.
I mean, that salmon on the can looks like it is in the wild.
I mean, it looks like what I did all summer. No, I mean, just, I'm sorry to not brag. But there was a lot of salmon caught this summer. And the Morgie family was in charge of it.
You had a good summer.
Yes.
Yes. This can is amazing. It's a beautiful can.
It might be the greatest can ever in the podcast. Sorry, Tara. You're number three. Love you. It's an American IPA.
What do you have on this?
It's a 7% ABV, 55 IBU.
What does IBU stand for?
Stands for... Well,
we're not drinking yet, Ruck.
I'm just trying to air it out. Okay. It stands for International Bitterness Unit.
So what does 55 mean? Like
mid? Mid.
Mid.
As the kids
it's
would
a
say.
Mid. Mid. It's a mid.
In the bitterness scale.
Okay.
Are you ready? We're ready.
Brewed with 100% Centennial hops from the Pacific Northwest and named after the Two-Hearted River.
Ooh.
In Michigan's Upper Peninsula.
The UP.
This IPA is bursting with hop aromas, ranging from pine to grapefruit, from massive hop additions in both the kettle and the fermenter.
I cannot wait to taste this.
Perfectly balanced with a malt backbone and combined with the signature fruity aromas of Bell's house yeast.
Ooh.
This beer is remarkably drinkable and well-suited for adventures everywhere.
Wow. You made it.
Untapped gives it a 4.02 out of 5. That's big. That's really good.
With a 500,000 reviews.
No, yeah. 540,000 reviews. This beer has gone everywhere.
So I'm going to taste it right now.
Well, hold on.
Okay.
I'm just glad we made it through that read. I thought you might go off on a little adventure.
What?
What?
Why?
Huh?
Oh, I can't wait. Oh. Oh. Ruck?
Mm. That's a good beer.
Oh.
That is a good beer.
Yeah. It's very it's very malty. It's right when it says it has a malt backbone.
Yeah.
And it's very bitter. I like it.
I'm not tasting the grapefruit though.
That's the bitter, I think.
Okay.
So try to lock your taste buds in on that bitter and see if it can hound out some grapefruit.
Wow.
So swap, because every time we do a podcast, you ask me, what would you pair this with? What would you, like, What are you eating with this?
Are you asking me what I would pair this with?
Yes, instead of me. I'm putting you on the spot.
Oh, man.
Because I know what I'm doing.
You know, I think I would pair this with a nice smash burger.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think this is a heavy IPA, so I think it needs some fat.
Need some red meat.
Do you think Rockets is a super heavy IPA?
I think because of the malt and heavy grapefruit pine flavor, which I think the description is really good. There's a lot of times I read descriptions and it's got all these extra little tinkly things in there and I've got no taste of that when I drink it. It has everything it says it has, and so it's a lot.
No, I would want that with a nice fatty burger.
Yeah.
What were you going to say, J-Dog? Salmon?
No. No.
It's a safe guess with you.
No, come on.
What about smoked salmon?
No.
Smoked salmon.
How about, how about?
Ooh.
Oh, I'm thinking.
I'm gonna say something unless you're going to.
Okay, go ahead.
Some nice fatty brisket.
Yes.
Oh.
Like some burnt ends.
Like a brisket, yes.
Like with the little burnt ends of a brisket.
And then, you know, the side is a little mac and cheese and a little
salt. Oh.
Yeah, you're like taking a 2-3 hour nap afterwards, which
like
is
a smoky mac and cheese.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could do that.
Like a cold weather outdoor barbecue, that's what this beer is for.
Man, I feel like I'm in the UP right now.
Ooh-wee.
On the banks of Lake Superior.
Oh,
sure.
I might have made that up.
Hey, I think that's one of them. Can you name all four of the Great Lakes?
Are there five?
Okay. Are there five?
I don't know.
Lake Michigan. Superior.
We need
Lake Huron. Union.
Wait, what?
Go ahead.
Lake Huron.
Huron.
What?
Sorry. Huron.
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 I pronounce it urine.
What else we got?
Oh, my gosh.
You said urine.
Erie.
Bumblebee tuna.
Erie. Superior.
Urine. Michigan.
Okay. Maybe we should move on.
Okay. Did we say Michigan?
Anyways.
So supposedly one of a loyal listener, Mr. Ross Metcalf, he has a friend that we can fish on Lake Michigan, and they're catching amazing
sturgeon.
No, amazing fish, like big salmon.
Hey, I'm ready to go.
That we can't do.
I'm ready to get to our top three.
All right,
we need to land this plane.
I know.
Otherwise, we're going to get to 2 hours and then bad things
do
happen.
Do a double.
Bad things happen.
Hey, by the way, your shirt looks amazing.
It does.
Like, hey, podcast shirts are available. $25.
It's new. If you've got one of the
brand
old ones,
new,
you don't
brand
have this
new
one.
And it's going to, like, when you walk out to a bar and you walk with that shirt on, people are going to look at you.
People want to know you.
Yes.
Yeah, so if you want a new shirt, text us or email us at
theviewfromtherock@gmail.com.
Correct.
I got that down.
You've interrogated me in eight.
Yeah, only took me 2 years. Okay, so top three high school sports venues. Because I want to get this rolling, I'm going to start us off. Number three on my list, I'm going to go with one of my most hated locations. It's where Satan's Army resides, and that is Burlington Edison's Kirkby Field, I believe.
Oh, great field.
The maintenance staff there must be one of the greatest in the state, because that field every single time is cut nice and short. It's incredibly green. The lighting on it's wonderful. Both sides have all of their seats covered from the rain. It's a great location. I just wish that the school that I grew up hating, Burlington Edison, didn't play there.
It's, you know, I've driven by it on a Friday night when the lights are on, and it's magical. And like you said, the grass is immaculate. There is something special about a grass field.
Yeah.
Yeah. Until absolutely. It rains.
No, that makes it even better. Makes it better.
Burlington is terrible.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they are.
We
love them, but we hate them.
We have good friends in Burlington.
I know, but like it goes like in waves. 80s?
Hated them.
We dominated. No, they dominated.
Yeah.
Right now, we are kind of beating them.
Are we kind of beating them?
Okay.
What was the score last week?
We're dominating them. Jimmy, I love you. Carol, the whole family.
Okay, so my number three.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm going to go Sherman Anderson Field. Baseball, ooh. Mount Vernon.
Former stomping grounds for you at one point.
For sure. Great place to watch a high school baseball game.
1990, one of the greatest games I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Districts. And, of course, Mount Vernon.
And when that... You know, it's one of those fields where when there's a big game there, fans line the sidelines. And we're lucky here. We've talked about this before. We're lucky here in our conference when there's a big baseball game. There are venues where there are hundreds, maybe even 1,000 people at a game. And that's abnormal for a high school baseball.
And it's weird because, you know, Sherman Anderson is like right. I mean, that's where the fair is.
It's the fairgrounds.
Yeah.
And back in the day, they would have like burgers frying. You'd be on the field. You'd smell a burger frying, onions.
Now, that field is like in the middle of the neighborhoods in old Mount Vernon, right?
Yes.
Yes.
So it's not by the high school.
Downtown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great spot.
And I was fortunate enough to coach there.
And play there.
Yes. What's your number three?
So you won on both venues, like both avenues.
Correct.
So my number three is because it was the greatest, one of the greatest times of my life.
Is that the pickleball court over at Skagit Valley?
No, Anacortes High School. Because we beat Mount Vernon.
Talking about Williams Gymnasium?
Year, 1993, yes. And everyone rushed the court.
Gotcha. Williams
Gymnasium. Like, it's never, like, that never happened.
Now,
we beat Mount Vernon my senior year, and they were ranked number 4 in state. We were ranked number 7, and we won. And they stormed the court, and everyone jumped on us.
So you're talking Anacortes High School gym.
Anacortes High School gym.
Okay.
Yeah. Number three.
Yeah.
Williams Gymnasium.
Yep.
Yes.
Williams Gymnasium. Number two for me, I'm going to go with, I'm kind of doing a little bit of a surprise here. Number two maybe would have been my number one, and that is the basketball gymnasium at Mount Vernon High School.
That's number two for you?
That's number two for me. Oh. So you're going to be shocked by my number one. But I'm just saying, number two, it's an incredible venue. It's one of the only venues we got left in the state that is a band box where it feels like everyone's on top of the action. It's hot. It's uncomfortable. And we're here for it. Pat, number two.
My number two is Mount Vernon Gymnasium.
Whoa.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, baby.
Yeah, it's the greatest gym in the world. It really is.
Well, then why isn't it number one?
Because it's not my number one.
That's funny.
Yeah. No, it's great. It is like old school wooden bleachers. Come on, Rock.
It's the greatest gym in the world. I mean, I know.
Maybe we're going to be talking about a baseball field.
Yeah. We could be.
I know.
So what's your number two, right. Morgie?
Let's go, Morgie.
I just think back when I was growing up and watching good baseball and seeing like really good baseball between Mount Vernon and Anacortes in Burlington. Jim Gutierrez.
God, he was good.
Oh, and you had Mount Vernon. They were freaking amazing. And you had, like, so I'm going number two is Sherman Anderson Field.
Okay.
All right.
So
I like it.
Rock, do you know where that is?
Yeah. We talked about it. Downtown, Old Mount Vernon.
Yeah.
Love it. It's a good spot near the fairgrounds, right?
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. Number one for me. Here's the shock. War Memorial Field in the Anacortes.
No way.
I loved that old field. It had the best view anywhere in Washington.
Nice pull.
Maybe the world.
Yeah. No, that's a great call.
Not only was the view amazing, that thing was a mud pit when it came time to winning games, and we ran the wing tee. We ran the air out of the football.
So what year were you?
02 to 06. And I loved how it was all the spectators crunched up into that little stadium stands, not covered, and then the mud track of cinders was just covered in children lining the whole thing, swarming around the little place you could get food from, and you could just smell it. And when I was in middle school, that was incredible. Just running around there, going crazy.
So you were in middle school in like 98?
2000.
So a lot of people think that Anacortes football success began last year. We were good 20 years ago.
No, we were really good 30 years ago.
No, we were really good.
No, we were really good, and we had to face Corey Dillon.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. Corey Dillon.
When I was in high school, I played against Jake Locker. We've all heard of that guy. We had to play against Jonathan Stewart. Heard of that guy. Went to the University of Oregon. Like, there were some studs we played against.
Yeah.
In the playoffs.
Playoffs, you played against Jonathan Stewart.
Yes.
Okay, my number one, Daniels Field, Anacortes.
Gotta have it.
Yeah. There is no better place to watch a baseball game than Daniels Field.
Greatest place on earth.
In the spring, there is no better place to be in Anacortes.
Like, I mean, what do you think about the attendance at our place compared to, like, Burlington or other places?
No, I tell our kids all the time, you are playing in front of a college audience.
Yeah.
Every game. And when it's a big game, we have 1,000 people there.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, it's it is amazing. And we had, you've seen Mr. Morgenthaler. You've been there for so many big games.
Yes.
And it is, there's nothing like it.
Oh, it's amazing. Crazy. Crazy good.
Yeah.
So my number one.
I can't wait.
It just is. Even though I'm like 2-5 there, maybe 2-3, is Mount Vernon Gym.
Yeah. Mm.
Like, it's like a Hoosier atmosphere. They were so good. So my senior year, we go there. They shut the place down at 5 o'clock. So there's no one allowed. The fire marshals close it down. So the JV game, imagine being a JV guy and the entire place is packed.
Yeah.
And then we play there. It's magical.
I remember my senior year, Tim Caviezel hits a shot to win the game, and it was so loud that it was silent.
So I was a freshman when Mr. Swap was a senior, and that game, like, I remember going and watching and seeing Nels Tramberg go baseline. He dunks.
Yeah.
And then the next play,
Bill Cornelius. Yes,
Bill Cornelius goes baseline, goes, yeah.
Reverse dunk.
And I'm sitting.
And we're 1 minute into the game.
Yeah. And I'm sitting in the stands going like, oh my God, this is amazing. And then Tim Caviezel is like 6'7" point guard going boom, boom. And there is no room. Like, it's cracked. Like,
and people are like on the court.
And they're on the back of the basket.
Yes.
Because they have stands there.
And they don't use them anymore.
And the fire marshal at 5:30 goes, we're done.
Yeah.
Like no one else can come in?
Yes.
Wow.
So imagine a JV game.
Hey, you have like and Mr. Morgenthaler, Tim Caviezel was the best player I've ever seen in high school basketball. You're thinking about it.
Yes.
He was okay. Amazing.
I know. And then I played with him in college. He's mentally weak. But I love him.
But in high school.
Oh, dude, he was amazing. Like, remember when he had the article at Skagit?
Yeah.
Where he had like 5,000 letters and he went to UW.
He was the best high school player I've ever seen.
But he, yes, and his mom was weak. So we had a brick. Remember the brick-o-meter?
Yeah, and his mom was in the stands, and it was crazy.
She was not happy about that. I take it.
He was so good. He was so good.
We experienced some of the greatest sports.
And his brother is the Passion of Christ.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, Rock. Take us off.
That's it. That's it. Well, yeah. Hey, you know, I'm sure that
isn't there another one?
Another what?
They're talking about another Jesus movie.
What was the movie he was in with?
He played in the Golden Year or
the Wonder Years.
Wonder Years.
But yes. He was in another movie.
He was the basketball guy that was supposed to be amazing.
But he
was. He sucked.
Oh, yeah.
No, but you can't make this up. I mean, this is. We can't. We're not making this up.
No. This is Jim Caviezel and Tim.
Yes. And his brother was.
Sister was amazing.
Yes. He Aaron. Was so good.
Yes.
He was amazing. 6'7".
So he reminds me of Scottie Pippen because he was 6'7", but he shot like his wrist.
Yes. It was
no,
just
it was
like
his
the,
wrist.
Yes. And the viewing audience cannot see this, but it was like.
A little flick at a wrist.
No, it was just wrist.
From like 17 feet or 27 feet.
Yeah.
Like not much of a jump.
And then he also had Hendrickson, who was 6'10", who ended up going to Wazoo and then played NBA.
And MLB.
And 15 years in major leagues.
Yeah. Golden State Warriors, right? In the
Well, NBA. I think he was second round pick and Iverson was first round pick. For Larry Brown.
Oh, for the Sixers?
Yes.
Okay.
And then Tim ended up leaving Wazoo or UW. He goes to Western.
Long Beach State in between.
Okay. And then Western. And then I end up playing against him.
Wow.
It was weird.
But he was so good in high school. God, yeah, he was good.
You know what? He's mentally weak.
Oh, come on, Morgie.
He is. I'm just going to say it. Tim is mentally weak.
Well, we all go through our own issues. No. You know, I'm sure that we screwed up a lot of stuff. No matter what segment we were in tonight, whether it's a sports venue that we forgot that we should have included in our top three, or a song that we left off of our sad songs list. In fact, not only let us know about those or let us know about any other ideas you have for top threes or musical genres that we should talk about, and let us know at theviewfromtherock@gmail.com. Until then, stay safe.